Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And these things I took, I looked. Let me start that over. Lord, have mercy. Help me, Lord. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one who sat on it. And he who sat there like jasper, was like jasper and stardust and stone in appearance, and was a rainbow around him in appearance of emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightning and thunder and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne, around the throne, with four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion, and the second living creature like a calf, and the third living creature had face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sat on the throne, who lived forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sat on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will we exist and were created. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we praise you and we honor you and we love you. I thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you give us, Lord God. And Father, I ask you, Lord God, to God just be with us this morning, Lord God. And Father, as we open up your word, Lord God, it is sometimes very difficult, Lord God, for us to understand, Lord God. But I pray, ask your spirit, Lord God, just intervene, Lord God. And Father, speak through me, Lord God. And God, just use me as a mouthpiece of your people, Lord. And Father, I come to you and just pray that if anyone is in here, Lord God, is not saved today, God, that they'd find their way to you, Lord God. And Father, I pray as we open up this word, Lord God, and as we read it, Lord God, we'll take your word, Lord God, and apply it to our lives, Lord God. Not only hear it, but live it, Lord God. And Father, be ready for that day when you come, Lord God, when that roll is called up yonder, Lord. And we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the honor, we'll give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Sometimes this is a very difficult revelation. And when we get to Revelation chapter 4, we have already talked about the churches and the history of the churches. And the church of Ephesus, as you remember, was a loving church. Talked about Smyrna, persecuted church. We talked about Pergamos, the compromising church. We talked about Thyatira, the corrupt church, and Sardis, the dead church. Laodicea, the lukewarm church, and Philadelphia, Philadelphia was the faithful church of all the churches that we talked to. And in Revelation chapter 4 here, the first two verses, Revelation 1 is, remember, the Lord is, John is on the island of Patmos, and he has his vision, and the Lord tells him, write down these things that I am telling you. And John is on this island. And right here is where I believe that the rapture of the church takes place, because up until chapter 4, the church is mentioned 19 times. You hear church 19 times. Not again is the church in the whole book of Revelation from chapter 4 to verse 22:16 will be the next time you hear church. And then God is talking about that he gave these words, or this rapture, or these words to the church for them to pay attention to. So what happened to the church? What happened to the church? The church has gone off the air. Remember when you used to, back in the old days, when you'd be driving down the highway, and a lot of you young people, I'm telling how old I am now, you had the dial that you turn on the radio, and you would, I used to listen to WBAP out of Dallas, it was a country and western station that was, wherever you was at in the state of Texas, you could hear WBAP. And you'd be going along there at night, and you'd get on WBAP, and then you'd go somewhere, and it was gone. And you would twist that knob and turn that knob, and you couldn't find it. It was gone. Well, that's what has happened to the church. In Revelation chapter 4, the church is gone. It is gone. Where is the church? The church is before the throne of God. The first verse that we read here says, after these things, John saying, after these things, after the church, after these things that you have told me, after these things I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. He's in heaven. John is in heaven. And so John is in heaven like on the island of Patmos, and God tells him, it says, after these things I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. Come up here and I will show you the things which will take place. So God is talking to John. Jesus is talking to John. He's saying, come up here and hear these things that are fixing to take place. So the church is gone. All right. I believe the church, the Sunday morning after the rapture takes place, after the church is gone, that Sunday morning there will be a whole lot of preachers in the pulpit, there'll be a whole lot of people at church, but there won't be anybody missing. Pay attention to what the Lord is saying. It is like, and I guess God give me this realization today, because last Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, everybody was praising God. Everybody was glad to be here. Everybody came to church to eat dinner, to hear songs, to praise God. And where are they at this moment? God says in His Word that only a few are going to make it. I promise you, the Sunday morning after the rapture, there's going to be many preachers in the pulpit. There's going to be many church houses that are full. And they're going to be trying to figure out what is happening. That's what's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. God says that there in John 7:16, God says, they are not of this world, as I am not of this world. There's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of things in John 14:13. I wrote some of these down, we're going to be flipping all through the Bible this morning. John 14:13 says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. God is saying, I'm going to come back for the church. Psalms 100, I used it this morning, I can't remember. Psalms 100 or 101:6 says, that God is going to come back for His faithful, that He is going to take care of those that are faithful. I would count you, if I were God this morning, I would count you faithful because you come to church this morning. Because you are here wanting to hear from God. Not wanting to hear from me, but wanting to hear from God. And God has laid it on my heart to present this to y'all. God says, I'm going to come after my church. And he is plainly, I believe, without a doubt, going to come after the church. I got a, Brother Darrell, you put that up here? I got a graph that I want to show you. In the view of something that a lot of people, I hope you can see this. I'll try to read it to you. But there's four views on the rapture of the church. But before I say anything about these four views, there is not a church in the world, Church of Christ, Methodist, Baptist, Full Gospel, Pentecostal, Apostolic, Catholic. There's not a church and many, many more that does not believe that God is coming back to get His church. There's four views on it. Post tribulation, millennialism. That means that that church believes that there's going to be a time of tribulation. Tribulation is going to be a time on earth when it is, the Bible says, that there will be days that the earth has never saw before. There's never been no more wicked. There's never been no more wrongdoing. It's the most horrible time that man has ever faced and will ever face again. So that's tribulation. Tribulation. Then the second coming means that Christ is going to come. All right? Jesus is going to come back for the church. That's what we present in chapter 4. The millennial is a period of peace. Is a period of peace. And then the first, the post-tribulation, premillennialism, believes that after the millennium, which is 1,000 years of peace, there's going to be 7.5 years of tribulation, 1,000 years of peace, then the last judgment, then everybody goes to heaven. The pre-transitional, pre-millennialism is what I believe, and I believe there's going to be a tribulation. First, there's going to be the second coming of Christ, as we're reading in chapter 4. That's why John, I believe, is before the throne of God. There's going to be a second coming of Christ. This is what the Bible says, I believe. The second coming of Christ, then there's going to be tribulation period. Then there is going to be a second coming with the church. In other words, God, those of us who are raptured away, are going to come back with God to earth, and there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign in Jerusalem, and then the last judgment. That's when all that, remember in Revelation, we'll read it in Revelation 18 or 19, where all the dead in Hades, the sea gives up the dead, and everybody is judged before God. That's going to happen, and then we're in peace with Jesus forever. Then there's a post-millennialism. They believe that God, that the world is going to be chaotic, that the church is going to survive through that part, and some of the churches are going to survive, as I've already said. And then the millennium, and then the second coming of Christ, and the judgment is over with. The last one, the amillennialists, believe that God is just going to come back and they have the last judgment, and that's going to be it. The Bible, to me, indicates the middle one up there, pre-traditional, premillennialism. That is what I believe that we're going to live through, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. In 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, look at that just a minute. God says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, God says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ, incorruptible, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. All right, what does, as you hear people say all the time, rapture's not in the Bible. It's not. Rapture's not in the Bible. But let me tell you what rapture means in the Greek. Rapture in the Greek is kalithia, which means kalo. Means to be called out. That part of the word means to be called out. The EK part means to be called out of. And so the word means a group of people called out of the world. There we have the rapture. God says that we are going to be called out of this world. We are going to, His people are going to be called out of this world. And God, let me find something for you, if I can, before I go to the next place I want to go. Matthew 24, I just want to show you Matthew 24. Let me find 24. Matthew 24, verse 22 says, I want to read 21. It goes with what I just got through saying. For then there will be a great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor shall ever be. Verse 22 says, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, we are the elect. Those days will be shortened. So that's the reason I believe that on that chart, the second one is pre, what is it, Darrell? I can't remember all of them. The second one is post-tribulation. That's the reason I believe that before this tribulation period comes, before all this trouble and all, I mean, we're in trouble. I mean, there's lots of trouble going around now. But it says, the Bible says, in the verse that I just read in verse 21, says, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world, nor ever shall be. I believe it's what God is saying in verse 22 is for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened, and we, the church, will be taken out. And so, He wants us to know what's going on in this world that we live in, and all the things that's going on around us. The world is caving in. But what I want you to know this morning, whether it's rapture, however it takes place, God is coming. And the most important thing that all of us can do is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and realize that He is coming, that this world is not going to last forever. He tells us again, I want to go to Thessalonians. The 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I use a lot at funerals to comfort people. And this should be a comfort to every one of us that are alive. And you can go on and on and on through the Bible and trace these verses. And God is telling us that He is coming. That there's no doubt in whatever that, in all the religions except Buddhism, Mormonism, there's religions out there that don't believe this. They believe basically that God is the bottom one, all millennialists, that God is going to come, there's going to be a tribulation, there's not going to be any tribulation period. The world's just going to get so bad like in the days of Noah, He's coming, and that's going to be it. But God says, in Thessalonians, verse 13, chapter 4, verse 13, He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, He is talking to us. He don't want you and I to be ignorant. God Himself John used to tell me when I first started preaching, quit saying ignorant. God says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, talking to us. He told John, He said, write these things down. He told John, the verse we read, chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, He said, but you write down, come up here. He said, He didn't say sit down there. He said, come up here, I want to show you what's going to happen. And what has happened to the church a while ago that I mentioned, they went off the air. They are all of a sudden in heaven with God, and we'll talk about it in the next chapter. But we are praising God before the throne of God. We are worshiping God, and that the word said they worshiped Him day and night forever and ever. A lot of preachers say, and I say, if you don't want to worship God, if you don't like to stand and sing and shout, you may be headed to the wrong place if you know Jesus. Because when we get there, it's not going to be about how holy we are or who we are. It's going to be all about praising God. God gave His Son that He died on that cross at Calvary, that He is going to come again, and those of us that know Him and have kept his word are going to go home with him. But he said, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And he's talking about those of you that the loved ones that we have that have died, our mamas and daddies, our husbands and wives, our children, our grandchildren. But he don't be ignorant about that, because basically this is not the end. Just think about it. This is not the end. Think about the people. I think about my daddy and my mama and my little granddaughter and people like that that's gone on. I think it's not over. That's the only thing. That's the only way that we can get through death of a loved one, is to know that one, we're going to all be together. Just like that song I just tried to sing. When a roll is called up yonder, we're going to all be together. We are going to be with Jesus Christ, and we're going to be there forever. And he said, don't be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. At least if you do, you're going to be sad and you're going to be sorrowful and you're going to hurt. Now, Jesus cried at Lazarus' tomb. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to miss them. But don't let it get you down. Don't let it wear you out. He said, least you sorrow as others who have no hope. You see, if somebody dies in your family and you don't know Jesus, and they know Jesus, well, you're not going to ever see them again. The same thing is if they didn't know Jesus and you don't know Jesus, well, you're both in bad shape, because that person you will never see again, and you'll never be with them again. You'll burn in hell, but you won't know each other like we do. So God said, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those that have fallen asleep. For if we believe, now here it is, this is it again. We always come back to the cross. We always come back to salvation. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Put that back up there, Brother Darrell. That is the reason that right there it says the second coming and rapture, the tribulation, the second coming with the church. We are going to be joined with the loved ones when we're raptured to heaven, and one day we're going to come back with Jesus Christ. He is going to conquer this earth. There's going to be a millennial, 1,000 years. Think about it. I think about that all the time. I've tried to fathom that in my mind. And if you look at millennialism, it means 1,000 years of peace, and it means in Jerusalem. So I'm guessing that we will be in the area of the Mediterranean Sea and in Jerusalem for 1,000 years of peace, all the people in the church. For it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep. We're going to all be joined together. Verse 15 says, for this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain with the coming of the Lord will by no means be preceded by those who are asleep. But this is a rapture. This is the snatching away right here. It says, and remember, he said, I want you to be ignorant. I want you to pay attention to what's going on. I want you to know that for the Lord himself. How much plainer could that be? For the Lord himself, not somebody that he sends. He's going to send a whole lot of people during the tribulation period. A whole lot of angels, a whole lot of people to open up he's going to open up the scroll, and he's going to read, and he's going to send angels to pass judgment on those that are on this earth. But he's saying here, he says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Jesus himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. When Jesus comes back, when the rapture takes place, God is going to send his son, and the graves of those that who know him, who have died, are going to rapture up that old body. Now remember, you say, well, I'm confused here. When you die, your soul goes to heaven. This that speaks, this that breathes, this that talks, that goes to heaven. Your body returns to the dust. But when the second coming of Christ comes, that body in them graveyards over there in Center Hill, that's where all my family's at, are going to be snatched up, and that body is going to meet that spirit in the sky, and they are going to be created a heavenly body and a heavenly being. Remember when Jesus came to the tomb? Remember when he came out of the tomb? We talked about last weekend. The women went to hug him. He said, don't touch me. Don't touch me yet. Because I'm not through with my Father's business. I have got, and the reason he was saying it, because he was fixing to be holy and purified. He was. But he said, don't touch me. And so, when that day comes, that body, that old body that was decayed and dirt, is going to go to heaven. It's going to be a glorified body. That spirit is going to enter that body, and we will live together with the Lord for eternity. He says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then here comes our turn. And I believe with all my heart that if you read God's Word, that if you study God's Word, that if you pray, that if you look at what's going on in this world, and he said, look. What did he just say? He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. I don't want you to be ignorant about things going on. These are the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24 as they were coming by the temple, and they said, when are these things going to take place? I don't know. Only the Father in heaven knows. But it's going to take place, and I don't know when, but this is what's going to happen. And he goes through all of these things, and the first thing he says, there'll be famines and pestilence. Now, you go look up. I don't remember why I didn't look it up this morning. It's just coming from famine and pestilence. One of them is infectious disease, and one of them is food shortage. Look them up. That's what is going on in our world right now. You turn on the 6 o'clock news tonight, they'll be talking about the price of gas, but one of the main things that they're talking about is the coronavirus, which was an infectious disease, which is an infectious disease that took out thousands of millions of people, and food shortage. You go to Walmart, you go to HEB, you look, go through there's stuff that's not there that used to be. God said, don't be ignorant, my brother, look at this. Look at what's going on, you know. I heard somebody tell me yesterday, I'm gonna go to church when things get real bad and I'm gonna get saved. I said, brother, you better get saved before things get bad, and you better go on. You can get saved right here, right now. But God told us that know him, don't be ignorant. He said, look, these things are gonna happen. There's gonna be earthquakes. Going to be famines, going to be pestilence, going to be wars, there's going to be rumors of war. There's going to be all of these horrible things that are going to happen. And then he said in Matthew 24, I just read, because those days are going to be so horrible, because the things are going to be horrible than I've ever been on the face of the earth and never will be again, I am going to take you with me. And so he says, then we who are alive right now and remain, that means us right here, right now, walking around, sitting here in this church. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. God is going to take all them people out of the ground that's going to heaven. They're going to have our glorified bodies. And in the same second, we just read what? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, We are going to join Jesus and our loved one, and we're going to be taken out of here, and hell is going to break loose on this earth. You think it's bad now? You think the coronavirus was bad? And the sad thing about it is that, as I already said a while ago, and I didn't say that, Billy Graham made that prediction. He said that the Sunday morning after the resurrection, that the church houses and the pulpits would be full, and that there would be nobody missing in a lot of churches. God is coming for His church. God is coming for His followers. God is coming for those, and He says it. The very beginning again, He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant. What is ignorant? I mean, the world is ignorant right now. Our leaders are ignorant. There's no common sense. Our poor little precious kids and grandchildren is going to school. They're trying to say, you can be whatever you want to be. You can be a man. You can be a woman. You can be, you don't even have to be the one. You can just be one of them others. Really, this is going on, you know, going on in our world today, right now, this second. That's ignorance. I mean, it's just ignorance. I can't say it's ignorant. And God said, do not. You, brethren, and He said, do not be ignorant, brethren. Us, my children, those that live, do not be ignorant. And when that trumpet sounds, when the archangel hollers, the dead in Christ are going to be snatched away. And we that remain, the word says, we that remain shall be caught up. Pew! That's what rapture means, caught up. It means, again, it means to be called out of. That's what it means. It means to be snatched out. It means to be taken out. It don't say, it means that we're not going to stay here. That's what He said. He keeps saying He. That's what Jesus meant when He said in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, after these things I look and behold a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice that I heard was like trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. After the churches are raptured, I'm going to show you what is going to take place for the rest of the time of the people on earth. But y'all come up here with me. And we're going to go up there with God, and read it again. And go back to Revelation. The word says, verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings and full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sat on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crown around the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by you you created all things. He created us, and by your will we exist and were created. God said, we're going to be snatched up, and what does it say we're going to be doing? All this terrible things are going to be happening on this earth, and we are going to be taken up with Jesus Christ, and we're going to be before the throne. Then he who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. How do we comfort one another at a at the graveside of one of our brothers or sisters that is gone, that has died, how do we comfort them? This is not it. It ain't all over, because Jesus is coming, and we're going to go with Jesus, and he is the only one worthy to be praised. Jesus Christ is the one that he is all about him. It's not about us. I heard a preacher say yesterday on the radio, he's talking about this very thing, that we're going to go before God and we're going to bow down before that throne and we're going to worship him. And he said, I love Christmas music. He's talking about Holy Night and Silent Night and all those things, that how we worship him at Christmas. We're going to go before him. It says the elders of the church are going to bow down before him. The crowns that we have received before him, we're going to cast them crowns at his feet and bow down and praise him. And we want him to come to church and praise him here. So if we won't come to church and praise him here, how in the world do we expect to be one of those before him? By the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the only way that we'll be worthy, is by the blood of Jesus Christ. It don't really make any difference about all millennials or predispensational millennials or all that millennials. Whatever it is, it don't make any difference. What makes a difference? Do you know Jesus Christ this morning, and are you ready? Because there's earthquake, there's war, there's famine, there's pestilence. All these things are going on right now. And God said, for the elect's sake, for your sake, brethren, you're going to be taken out of here, and you're going to be with me forever. Forever. We're going to get to come back with him. We're going to get to watch him kick the devil's butt all over the place and throw him in hell, and all of those that join him, we're going to get to watch it. It's going to be what? It's like the Super Bowl or something. It's going to be something. We're going to sit there and clap. I can't wait till he chains him up and throws him in there. I can't wait. Think about how much he's tormented. Think about what a great day that'll be when Jesus will see, when we put our eyes on Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. What did Moses do? He bowed down. He couldn't even look at him. He was so wonderful and so gracious, and the peace and love and everything that he had for us. People, there ain't nothing in this world. There's nothing here worth losing your soul. For what good is it to gain the world and lose your soul? Father, I come to you right now, Lord. Oh, God. God, I pray, Lord, that God, in my simple words, Lord God, that you've given me this morning, Lord God, that people would understand. God, that I'm just not some preacher just saying things that I want to say to get people to come to church. God, I pray that the Christians in this church would begin to pray and get on their knees and praise you, Lord God. God, realize it don't make any difference about all the stuff. The main thing, God, is that we know you, that we know your Son, that we know Jesus, that he died on the cross at Calvary, that he shed his blood. God, that he arose from that tomb. And God, all that other things, Lord God, you said, just don't be ignorant about it. It's going to happen. But I got you. And God, we praise you and honor you and thank you for that. But God, I ask you right now, if there is one here that doesn't know you, man, woman, child, young, old, God, you love them. And you want them right now, Lord God, to come. God, I know there's someone here right now that's doubting. God, there's some right here right now that Holy Spirit has got their stomach tied up in knots, Lord God. You're showing them the things that they need to get rid of to come to you. God, I pray that right now today that they'll do that. And Lord, we give you the praise, and God, we give you the glory. We just ask your Spirit to fall on this place, Lord God, and your people, Lord. God, would come to you. In your precious holy name we pray, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.